you know, there is a method to my madness. On the bulletin covers, the last few times I've preached, I had something a little bit different than probably what most people would expect to see on a bulletin. The reason I'm doing this is because I've recently been rereading Dr. Tim Elmore's leadership books, and the one thing that he says to do is to always have a visual that can lock an idea in a person's head. So this is your visual, the Die Hard battery, and we'll see how we can work that into our message today. Well, it was 1963, Monday, Thursday, my first day off of Easter break. And my dad had pulled his 1957 Ford Galaxy out into the driveway in the morning for me to wash. And it was a beautiful car, and I dreamt of owning that car once I got my license, even though I was only 11 at the time. Two-tone blue, he had it specially painted. Just a beautiful car. And so I washed it in the morning. And then afternoon, he said, why don't we wax the car? So we worked together. I never really waxed the car on my own, so he taught me how to do it. The reason we were doing this is we were preparing ourselves to take a trip up to Marquette, Michigan. The first time my family had ever been up to the Upper Peninsula. The reason we were going is my father's youngest sister, my Aunt Mary, had recently eloped. She ended up marrying one of her college professors. And since my dad was the oldest in the family, he was kind of set up there to check and to just make sure everything was copacetic. So over lunch that day, before we went out and waxed the car, my parents had a conversation, and my dad said, you know, the car's 7 years old, and we're going on this long trip. We're going up to Marquette, and who knows, there's still maybe snow on the ground up there. So I think I should invest in a new battery. Now, the one thing you need to know about my father is he was a fan of Fords. He never owned anything but a Ford. He worked for Ford Motor Company. The second thing is my dad just loved craftsman tools. And so the Die Hard battery had just debuted that year. And so my dad said, I think I'm going to invest in a Die Hard battery because this was a battery that was guaranteed for life. So he took our 57 Ford over to Lincoln Park to the Sears, drove it in, and had a new battery installed. When he brought the car home, he pulled it into the garage because my mom, I don't know if this was because she had a bookkeeping background, but my mom was the master packer. And she knew, much like my wife is, she knew exactly every nook and cranny in that car, where to put things, because we were going to be gone about a week and a half. And being that my aunt just got married, my mom had some extra things around the house that she figured they could use setting up their apartment up near Northern Michigan University. Marquette University. So the car was packed. Good Friday, we got up, we were ready to go, and the only thing that wasn't in the car was the cooler. My parents always put the cooler in the back seat between my sister and I so we wouldn't fight on our trips. So we got the cooler in the back, we were in our seats, my dad turned the key. Short story about my family's first adventure to the UP, and it's somewhat congruent to reading the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives us directions for how to successfully live in his kingdom right now. While we have already learned about the Beatitudes, and we'll be spending the next few months unpacking the details of what many people call the great us astray. I also will attempt to illustrate how God will activate us to perform the deeds on this journey. Matthew 5:16 states, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus taught the Beatitudes, or blessings, recorded by Matthew and Luke, that will produce hope and joy even when we are being persecuted. Joy, if you remember from another sermon that I presented earlier this year, is that steady feeling of peace that comes in times of great success or great defeat. It's a feeling of contentment without outrageous, prideful highs or depressed, seeking lows that pull us away from our God who calls us his children. Jesus promises us the kingdom of heaven now, in which wealth and power are unimportant and replaced instead by humility and self-sacrifice. As Jesus continues, he tells us that, one, we can have a positive or a negative influence on the earth and its inhabitants by our actions or inactions. Two, obeying the law is more important than being able to explain it. Three, we must be open to transformation so that Christ can change our hearts and attitudes. Four, and five, anger is as serious a matter as murder, and lust is as serious as adultery. Six, Christians must be trustworthy and solid in their decisions. Our yes must mean yes, and our no must mean no. Seven, while non-Christians love those who love them back, Christians must even love those who hate them or who are mentally or physically unable to love them back. Eight, we need to give, pray, and fast without fanfare. Nine, we must not let our stuff or money become our God. Ten, while planning is time well spent, worrying is not only a waste of time, but it's a waste of our resources. 11, approach the sins of others cautiously and with care, and only after much prayer and discernment, remembering that it is up to God to judge a person's heart. 12, spend only a short time with a sinner, and ask God for discernment to know when it is time to end a relationship with a non-repentant person. 13, ask God for what he would have you to do. 14, condemn those who purposely teach false doctrine, knowing full well of their misteachings. And finally, 15, be faithful and God will reward you. Beware that God will cut down religious people who have rigid hearts of stone. So, as my father turned the ignition on the Ford Galaxy, I expected to hear the roar of the big V8 that he had in that car. And instead, all we heard was a click, click, click. The new diehard battery that he bought was defective. So he went to the next door neighbor and he asked Pat if he could get a ride up to Sears to take the battery with him and get a replacement. Even though we were fully prepared to go on this trip to Marquette, we had everything packed. My mom had all of the maps marked out. We had the AAA trip tech. We were set to go. We didn't have any power. So it often is the same for Christians. We have read the Word, read the Bible, are involved in small groups, pray, attend workshops, concerts, and Christian events, place the fish on our cars and the cross on our walls, as we simply allow ourselves to become full, content, and lazy. Like that diehard battery, we become defective and lose our charge overnight. Matthew 22:37-40 states, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets tell you the truth, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Jesus then allowed the disciples to experiment. He first sent them to their own, the Jews, to practice healings and to attempt to preach his message that the kingdom had already begun in the hearts of believers and would be fully recognized when Jesus returns. He also told us and his disciples to expect persecution. The world wants to gouge the truth. 2 Timothy 3, 12-13 states, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Jesus then modeled preaching to the crowds, as well as showing us that we will face conflict with those who call themselves religious and caught up with the man-made rules and traditions that only draw attention to those who are involved in the ceremonies and rituals. Jesus quoted a verse written by the prophet Isaiah. This is from Isaiah 29:13, in which he said, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Our Lord then taught after ascending the Mount of Olives and foretold the future. While we don't know every detail, Scripture attempts to give us a glimpse what will be when Christ returns. So, after 3 years of modeling and allowing his disciples to experiment, Jesus shows us the ultimate form of servant leadership. He lays down his life for us, knowing full well that he was going to pay the ultimate sacrifice of taking on the wrath of God that was intended for all of humankind. Jesus dies. But fortunately for us, the story does not end there. Jesus overcame death and was resurrected, offering us eternal life as well. Reading John 6:51, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, which means to accept Christ and be united with him, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give the life of the world. Well, my dad ended up taking that battery back to Sears and came home with a new one, hooked it up, we all got in the car, he turned the ignition, and the mighty V8 started up, and we ended up taking our 12-hour trip up to Marquette. 2 years later, my father sold that Galaxy to the neighbor across the street, transferring the battery warranty to him. After Jesus was resurrected, he then promised to send his own spirit to live within his followers. But he also gives each of us, not just pastors or deacons, elders, those with the gift for evangelism, he gives all of us a job to do. The message of salvation is meant to be shared with everyone in every nation. Jesus wants us to proclaim this message, that is, to share the gospel with our actions, that is, to love them, with our words, that is, to teach them, and with our deeds, that is, to make disciples. We are chosen by God to become like that diehard battery that became defective and lost its charge overnight. Acts 1:8 states, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The bad news is that God himself has empowered us through the Holy Spirit to be his representatives. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. This union